Hi.
Woo.
You're listening to Yo, Is This Racist?
This is the podcast hosted by Andrew T.
And Tawny Newsom.
Uh-huh, that's her.
Oh, we're so close.
Well.
Where we, no, we can still save it.
Okay, okay.
Listen to your voicemail racism questions.
Here to help you.
With the help of a special guest or guests. But first.
Yeah. News.
Current events, pop culture, etc. Okay, I gotta say, we started the show once already tonight. It's been a weird night.
No, it's been good.
It's been fine. I messed us up. I made us do a technical thing that was weird. We got in a weird rhythm, and then the computer hated us, and the computer did something weird. So we've now done this intro twice. And the first time we did it, guys, it was professional. It was good. We said the show right.
We're
so proud of ourselves, and we patted ourselves on the back on mic. And then, we got too excited, and then now we tried to recreate that.
Sort of an us problem.
Yeah.
You didn't have to be burdened with this, listeners.
But I'm sorry to bring you into our hell, our absolute hell. Podcasting is
fuck this shit.
Hell.
Ugh.
You have no idea what we go through.
No.
What an insane thing to say about the stupidest, easiest industry in the world.
It's so nice.
It's the most delightfully stupid, easy industry in the world.
Even our show, which is harrowing at times.
Our show can be a gauntlet of emotional swords that we try to turn into fun jokes and jabs.
Emotional swordsmanade.
Ooh. Spicy.
Delicious.
What would you like to drink? Welcome to the restaurant.
I guess to start the news thing, only because this is my bad. I made this too much of an Andrew T thing, but let's celebrate the demise of the Andrew Yang campaign the way I did, which was I knew that things had gone, I'd gone off the deep end when a coworker of mine basically like ran to my office. I was like, did you hear? And I was like, oh boy, I've made this. I didn't want to make it as much of a thing as I did. It clearly did. I should say, I don't hate Andrew Yang. I'm just saddened. I'm saddened by Andrew
Yang.
You
said the words, I hate that motherfucker,
many times. I do hate him, but I guess
I don't mean
it doesn't
challenge you. I'm just confused.
Matter. But what I mean is, I guess it's not that I'm not angry. I wasn't angry. I was saddened first. And then that sadness turned to anger, I suppose. But really, it's just like bummed me out that I actually did have a talk this weekend with a friend of mine who was sort of like relatively agnostic, I guess. So he's sort of more prominent in the like Asian community and was feeling lots of pressure to support Andrew Yang and said that, you know, my argument was like really the only argument from Asian people he was hearing against him, which was interesting. I think, you know, this guy runs in very specific circles, I suppose. But it was interesting. And definitely he did not love all of the rhetoric I was using that I stand behind. But I get that it's off-putting for people to hear, like, you know, white supremacist bootlicker or whatever. Even though
you are very good at buzzwords.
I believe it's, you know, true, but in a way that needs to be explained. I think if you just hear the phrase, it seems a little bonkers. But that all being said, I am mostly just like bummed that the most prominent Asian, I guess not most prominent, probably Bobby Jindal is more prominent, but a prominent Asian candidate for presidency chose to run his campaign like that, felt it was necessary, felt the need to embrace so many fucking racists. I think it says bad things about Asian people, and that's why I was so passionate about it, but I'm really glad to not have to think about it ever again.
That's well put.
I'm sorry I dragged so much of that onto this podcast, actually.
This is your podcast. It is, and I don't have a strong opinion. I guess I'm in that agnostic camp. So what does it matter to me what you say? I mean, it matters to me. But.
Yeah. You know, it was just, I knew it was getting too much. And part of me was like,
locked in.
I was like, this motherfucker can't keep going, right? So there's a very big sense of relief that he's gone just in that sense too. Anyway, That was my news.
You also did say that your phone blew up when he dropped out. And I was one of those people that texted you. I mean, like 3 hours later, because I'd be late to Twitter sometimes. But
I was like straight up at work, though. I had like shit to do. And I was like, oh, this thing that I like tweeted about like 10 times for a lot of people is my identity.
And it's suddenly like the opening to Beauty and the Beast where everyone's running into the town square. Yeah. Like, there goes the baker with the tray like always.
Oh.
That was my favorite song from Beauty and the Beast. What kind of a fucking sociopath is that? That's their favorite song from Beauty and the Beast. I'm a psychopath, but I love that song.
I can't think of a better one off the top of my head.
Tale as old as time. Is that from there? True. Yes, Angela Lansbury, bitch.
This is great because we have a clock on the wall so that I can make sure you don't sing so much that we owe publishing or ASCAP rights.
Under 10 seconds and we good, baby. Mm-hmm.
Sing faster.
10 seconds of a song is an extremely long amount of time. If you ever listen to a podcast and someone plays more than 10 seconds of a song, you feel it. It feels like an eternity.
Hurtful. Yeah. Was the only other news item the Harriet Tubman credit card?
We have the power to place Harriet Tubman on a global payment device in celebration of Black History Month and in tribute to the many others who freed enslaved people. This symbol of Black empowerment in 2020 will pave the way for the Harriet Tubman design on the $20 bill. That is from the One United Bank website. And that sounds not bad as a plan to be like, yo, we're going to put it on a debit card because y'all can't stop me. People put butterflies and Chester the Cheetah and whatever the fuck else they want on a debit card. Mm-hmm. We're putting Harriet Tubman on here doing an accidental Wakanda salute, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
So this is going to normalize it for people, and then they're going to put it on the $20 bill. I kind of respect the attempt. I'm a little sad that Twitter had to, like, drag them so hard because...
I mean, it's weirdly... why is it tone deaf? It is tone deaf. But why?
I think it's just too much for people.
Yeah. Because
I don't disagree with doing... I think people put a lot of weird shit on debit cards. Remember, like, checks?
Yeah.
Your personal checks could... If you liked knitting, your personal checks could just be balls of yarn.
Yeah.
And then that's what the lady at the grocery store would talk to you about. It is probably true
that there are debit cards or checks or whatever that have Benjamin Franklin's face on them.
Truly, like, all kinds of weird people.
Yeah.
So this is not... It's almost like the practice of it is not... abnormal. It's not, it shouldn't be ridiculed, but something about the way it rolled out, the way Twitter grabbed it.
I mean, part of it is that no financial trust institution is trustworthy. Mm. And is it, it just feels like, and mainly because there's such a history of like financial services targeted to Black folks that are predatory.
I think that's actually a good point, is that the only time, not the only, oftentimes when we see...
Yeah, shit targeted towards Black people.
From a financial standpoint, it is...
The bad one.
Yeah, it is the predatory lending or...
Yeah.
So...
It's just, it reminds me, that feels like the debit card version of, like, the payday loans commercials that run on, like, hip-hop radio.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is fucked up on some level that is hard to intertwine with... other levels, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is right? Because
I think you're right. I think that's what is hitting some people about it. It definitely like it struck me in a weird way, and I did not know why. Because I was like, why not?
Yeah.
But then seeing also the painting.
The painting is horrendous.
It's by Adonis Parker. I don't mean to, you know, diss the artist. It's I think from it's a painting called The Conqueror, but she does appear to be doing the Wakanda salute.
You know,
which is wild.
It's just if the rhetoric is what it is meant to believe, they should have used the design for the Harriet Tubman. It's supposed to be a 20 that Trump is clearly holding up.
Mm.
It's not going to let that happen on his watch.
Mm.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's also something about a debit card, like it's not a credit card.
Yeah.
I guess people don't really be, like putting, I almost said cartoons, God, like renderings on a credit card. Like a credit card just looks like what it is. And then a debit card is where you get the quote cartoons. What I is mean, wrong with me?
I don't. Is that? Yeah, I have no idea.
What's on your debit card?
Just the blue.
Mine has a picture.
All right, you keep talking. I'm going to pull out my wallet right now.
Yeah.
It is.
This is where we give away our financial
fully
information.
It is just blue.
It really is. That's your debit card? That looks like a credit card. Look.
But two debit cards.
How do you know which one's which? They look the same.
One.
You have three blue cards in there.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, it's the position in my wallet.
Mm, classic.
This is top, this is middle, this is bottom.
Well, with the Harriet Tubman debit card, the position is always free.
Keep going.
Dumb.
Yep.
The freest position in your wallet is where the Harriet Tubman debit card goes.
So, yeah, that was the ad.
I think I'll just feel bad for paying for dumb shit with a Harriet Tubman debit card.
Oh, that's true. You have to, you would have to only, yeah.
Pay for like noble frivolous. Shit for the culture.
Yeah. I
can't be buying Horse and Rider magazine.
I truly wonder. I mean, I guess like the fact that neither of us and no one on the internet did the research to find out whether this is a good financial product being offered. You know, we could have figured out if it was a black-owned bank or something like that.
I believe that it is.
Does it help if it's a black-owned bank?
It does. And they also, okay, according to them, in addition to its limited edition Harriet Tubman card, One United Bank will promote the right to vote theme for Black History Month and elevate the hashtag Bank Black and hashtag Buy Black movements for more information. You know, so it seems on the level. It's also a debit card, not a credit card, so you're not getting a bunch of like predatory interest rates, supposedly. A debit card is just your money in the computer.
That's right.
Oh, God.
International finance expert Tawny Newsom has logged the fuck on.
Look, I made a living telling jokes that I didn't have to write down first. So that tells you what kind of a mind we're working with here.
No, I mean, should we get this shit?
I mean, I might get one.
Now I kind of want one. Now that I know it's a black-owned bank, it does change it for me.
Yeah.
And I could have looked it up before. I didn't like post anything about it on Twitter, but I definitely appreciated the jokes.
It's funny that it was just like so immediately dragged, and I felt weird about that because I was like, no, she should be honored, and this is one way to do that.
Yeah.
But the packaging was strange.
Yeah.
We'll say that.
I guess any.
But who cares?
Yeah. Yeah.
Look into it. Support it if it makes sense for you. We do not give financial advice on this show.
We don't even
We've
know
come
what's
dangerously
happening.
Close to talking about things we don't know shit about. Do Damn. Not listen to us for any reason other than for jokes.
Dangerously close, as in every week.
Or that racist who likes the sound of Andrew's voice.
Oh, boy. Well, you're having a good day, racist who likes my voice. We got to have television's Christina Anthony on the show.
Such a treat. One of the no hyperbole, one of the funniest women I know. I'm so glad to see the rest of the earth getting to enjoy her.
I mean, look, I'm honored to call this woman a friend, but most importantly, honored to call this woman a coworker. No, Christina is so funny, and here she is.
I'm living the opposite lifestyle in the Valley.
I know.
Ooh, I can't wait to have children. My kids are going to be from the Valley.
I can't wait to have Valley kids. Did you guys buy a house?
No, we're in a condo and we integrated the building.
Congratulations.
Sure. Well, except for the man that owns our condo, his daughter, he was like, I think there's also a Chinese family here.
Ooh.
And I was like, who asked you?
That's nice.
Yeah. I don't think they're Chinese.
Oh.
They're
he
Asian,
was just guessing.
But I don't think that. Yeah, I was like, I don't think they're Chinese. They're not celebrating the new year right now. Mm-hmm. So I said I was going to go over there and introduce myself because I haven't met them yet.
But, yeah. Let us know.
But everybody else, we know their occupations.
Okay.
But the people who want to one
Chinese.
Right, right. He's like, this one's a doctor. This one's in real estate. These people are Chinese. They're
Chinese
not even Chinese.
Is here.
So I love that.
Chinese or Chinese adjacent.
What I love is, yeah, it's a true condominium.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was so shocked. I didn't think I was going to like the strip malls. No, but we're going to buy something. I didn't know Studio City. I didn't think I was going to like it, man.
Oh, yeah? You like it?
I like it. And I run into the stars all the time.
Oh, the stars hide out in the stud city, huh?
Yeah. They're everywhere. Today, I just ran into James Pickens from Grey's Anatomy.
Okay.
Oh.
And you know what he said? He said, today I ran into Christina Anthony from the hit show Mixed It. She plays
Boom.
On Katie.
Well, I told my husband when I went to Fryman Canyon, my coworker and I went hiking. Mm-hmm. And my husband asked me, how did it go? And I go, it was nice. It was an easy walk, 3 miles, medium you know, intensity, everything the description said. But then it said you always run into one or two stars, and we didn't see anybody.
You were the star.
Yeah.
That's how you know if you don't run into a star in Flaming Canyon, you're the star that day.
I was the star that day.
Yeah. People were like, oh, shit.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
I had, obviously, you know, we work together.
Yes.
Or I more or less work for you.
You do? Well, now that I know that, well.
Oh, yeah. Just I'll do. I have to do whatever.
To
yeah, do. But on Mixdish, and it did occur to me because you got booked through external sources that I was, just as I was leaving work today, I was like, is this an abuse of the job to have Christina on the podcast on some level? I hope not.
No, I was happy to come in here on my
one day
off. Thank
you so much for coming.
Here we go. Spill it. Well, I love that I've abused the podcast booking system to see my friend because we've known each other for a long time.
Yes. This is messed up.
And we have not spent time together.
Look.
So we're all wrong here.
Yeah.
Except you.
No,
yeah, you're
I think
fine.
It's, we've been chasing our dreams.
True,
for so
true.
Many years, and then your dreams finally come true, and the first thing you need to do is tell the people you love, bye.
Yeah.
I need to go get this money.
Yeah. I'm busy every day from now until they cancel the television show.
Absolutely.
So I'll see you never. Because on your days off, you're like, you have to do all the grooming. I know it sounds trivial.
Yeah. Oh,
The brows, the nails, the everything has to get done
the
on the day off.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you don't look a crazy mess because these cameras... These HD cameras aren't playing.
They get close, baby.
They're
I'm
too
going
close,
tomorrow.
Too bright.
Tell me this. I mean, this is for everybody in the room. There's several of us in here.
Mm-hmm.
How far are you going with the grooming? Because I've done the facials.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, getting the steaming and the extractions.
Uh-huh.
Are you doing the nose waxing of the nostrils?
Oh, I've had that done once.
Okay.
I'm not against it. I kind of just stopped thinking about it. So until someone tells me your nose hair is out of control, I'm not going to worry about it.
Can I ask just logistically?
Yeah. So they take
up inside.
Uh-huh. It's kind of like a Tootsie Pop.
Oh,
full of
delicious.
Wax that they shove up a nostril and then rip all the hair out of your nose.
God, that sounds too intimate. That
it
is maybe the
thorough.
Most intimate thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
But apparently these people will talk about you and they will write in to say that they saw the hair inside your nose while you were talking.
I tell you what, y'all tune into Space Force sometime in the spring. You're going to see some nose hair because that camera was up in my face and I have not. I don't think about the inside of my nose.
Oh, inside of my nose. They just told me about shaving my legs.
Wait, what? You weren't shaving your legs?
Well, everybody's pretty, I want to say passive aggressive. I want to say they're also polite. They're just like, oh, did you grow up in a family where you couldn't shave your legs?
Well, weird assumption.
That's a hell of a way to phrase that. Hell yeah.
Grow up in a family? why is it gotta be a whole cultural thing?
No, I just, I didn't know y'all were getting that close.
That's true. The camera is close. I guess no shade if you don't shave your legs.
Yeah.
But
I think I needed my eyebrows done. And they also asked me about that. They said, you've always had full brows since you were young.
Mm-hmm.
You're used to it. I'm like, is it that full? I think it's okay.
Yeah. The and questions sometimes are, they let you know how they feel with the question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I let them know, hey, you guys, I'm really busy making comedy, making Mixdish Tuesdays at 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Finally, we got someone who knows when it's on.
Wow. The number of times I straight fucked up that exact sentence is horrifying.
Now, I can't tell you what time zone that is, but I know 9 o'clock because that's on.
Yeah, because they make us. We are allowed to watch it at 6 p.m. We watch the East Coast feed at 6 p.m.
We are not allowed on stage.
Yeah, y'all got shit to do.
Yeah, they like continue acting.
We're just fucking around. We're drunk by 5:30. Come on.
What?
The writer's room is crazy.
I've just been trying to push this narrative that the writer's room is crazy.
Just
kidding. We all know it's a lie.
I had a drink after we wrapped my episode in my office, and I felt like I was breaking so many laws.
Oh,
I was just like, I can't do this.
You were.
Well,
I feel like I was breaking laws when I dropped off a little Christmas gift.
Oh, yeah. It was so nice.
A holiday gift.
Mm-hmm.
I drank the shit out of that crown. And it was great.
I love that you gave out crown. That's very cool.
I wanted to be culturally relevant.
It was so
and it
dope.
Comes in its own little wrapping, a velvet purple bag. Mary whatever.
Hello.
You know what's funny is that Christina and I knew each other from the second city.
I forgot. I have the bag with me.
Oh, look at that. Hey, there we go.
We'll put it on Instagram, I guess.
Are you black? You kept the bag.
No, this kept the bag.
I will tell you this.
You got to put your meter money in there.
I have to. Coins. No, I have to put. I'm going to give. I'm regifting the bag, using it to regift a gift card.
That's incredible because people are going to know that's a Crown bag. Yeah. And they're going to be like, this motherfucker this is so hood.
I forgot that.
Such
that
a
was
black
in my
uncle
bag.
Move. It's a nice bag.
It was very nice. Very nice.
But I was going to say, Christina, you are one of the reasons that I am in comedy because I had to understudy your ass at Second City because they didn't know any black people in comedy. And they went and found me, who was doing theater. And they said, you got to come in for her because we can't have white people say these lines.
Yeah.
She's playing Michelle Obama. She's doing this. She's doing that. She says the word wigger at one point. We can't have a white person do this. Please come in and play. And I didn't know. That was kind of like my first introduction to Second City. And then I sort of like followed in your footsteps, not to be too cheesy, but you really were like ahead of me in all ways, and I looked up to you so much. So it is very cool to see you.
Oh, wow. Like, I never thought of it.
On TV and thriving. And yeah, no, I think of that all the time. I also get sentimental about Second City, even though it is a trash place to some.
Some people have PTSD.
Some people fully have PTSD, and you are right to have it. I had a mostly good and healthy, I won't say healthy, they were mostly nice to me. But yeah,
that sounds good.
I get very like, I think there's value in like the kind of generational aspect of it.
I was like a senior when you were a junior.
Yeah. Because it gives some order to all the fucking chaos, and it makes me go like, oh, she's been doing this a minute longer, so she knows, you know, I can ask her things. And
yeah. And like I had Amber Ruffin to look up to.
Mm-hmm.
And she had Naima Funk.
Mm-hmm.
And
before that, former guest of this show, Angela Shelton.
Yep.
Was
and
here.
Angela Shelton.
The original Open the Door. The Door Open person.
I mean, yeah, I think there was something. I just did an interview. I think there's been like, in 60 years, 15 black women have ever worked there. So we should all get together and have lunch.
Yeah, we know each other.
Oh, damn.
We don't not all know each other.
Well,
I mean, well, it is funny, though, when someone says, especially a woman of color, when they say like, oh, yeah, I worked at Second City. I was on the main stage. I know that they weren't because I can count how many there were.
Right. Yeah. I just say, bless your heart. I just say, bless your heart.
You're like, if you want to claim that place, go ahead.
Girl, go ahead. Go ahead.
I do like how every time there's like a Second City person on here, you guys have like a brief. It feels like you did like a tour of duty or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's very military the way y'all are.
I got out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the key is too, once you get out, then you got to book something.
Yeah.
Or else it's for nothing.
Or else people just.
Which is not what white people have to do, right? Mm-mm. White people go to Second City and they're like, I did one sketch about being a mom. And I was like, kids are crazy these days. And they're just like, oh, girl, that was life in improv. But black people, especially black girls, they're like, do you own SNL now?
Right.
What have you done?
Surely you're taking over the Jumanji franchise from Kevin Hart. We have to do so much.
Oh, it's true. So it's almost like to prove that we should have been there in the first place.
Yeah.
We have to do the most.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I see the Chicago community rally around the white people that have come from there who are doing great, I'm kind of like, where is that love for like us? Where's that love for Amber? Where's that love for you? Like, I don't see it. I don't see it as much. People aren't as like, everyone needs to watch this show. We can't believe that this wonderful person has this show. And it's like, well, what
Meanwhile, Megan Titsbury is burping in front of a roller coaster talking about Pips at AC. And they're like, she's crazy funny. I can't believe it.
Now, the name Megan Titsbury, is that something that you've held on to for a while? You absolutely
and don't
fool.
Call in all the people from her team where she was also at IO.
You better stop. Is this a real person?
No.
I don't know. You could be. You could be going scorched earth.
All right, we're gonna do a voicemail. We're gonna put a pause on this.
Yeah, and I don't think Pepsi AC is paying you guys, so don't. Play that
part. No one is.
Let's do this fucking voicemail.
Hi, Andrew, Diane, and guest. I am a black man with an HBCU. In high school, most of the people that I hung out with were white, and that was just on account of their not being very many black people at my high school and having similar interests to some of the white people. Since having gotten to college, a lot of my views and jokes have been more, you know, informed by black culture, and a lot of my views have become a lot more sort of militant. And the thing is, my friends aren't necessarily racist or anything, but if I say something that can be perceived as maybe being like militant or sort of like excessively black, it just sort of comes off the wrong way. Like, they don't really mention it, but it's like crickets, you know, like just silence, and that just sort of makes it uncomfortable. And these are definitely people I don't want to like lose, because in general, I have great times with these people and they haven't made me feel uncomfortable about my race before. But now, you know, I've been in college for, I'm in my junior year now. And sometimes, you know, things can get really, really awkward. So I was just looking for your advice on that. Hope you all have a good one. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. High school with mostly white people, or friends from high school, mostly white people. Mm-hmm. Attending an HBCU and getting he's alienating his white friends, but as he's become more militant. Is there advice?
What happened? What just happened?
Was that too long?
So is he? So he's basically saying, is the support system he has around him and his white friends, is that racist? Should he drop them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say go ahead and let it go. Drop the friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a saying, where there's doubt, there's no doubt.
Oh.
So yeah. If you already got a little feeling about it,
yeah,
you know what's right, my brother. I mean, I don't know you, Hakeem. Let's call you Hakeem. Hakeem, you know these people. You can feel what's happening. And sometimes my mother also has a good saying, what you think is happening is exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
Because the people try to play you in your mind and make you think, oh, you're jumping to conclusions. But no, you know this. So now you've become awakened. Mm-hmm. You're at this HBCU. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think this is like the best reason to dump your friends from high school. If they think you're too black or whatever, then that's the best sign. Everyone should always dump their friends from high school.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree.
Yeah.
Sure.
Facebook is...
Shout out to my really good friend from high school.
I was going to say too, so I think the other part too is your white friends from high school, did they like you because you were black?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're afraid. It seems like you're afraid that they don't like you because you are now thinking black and acting black and feeling black and making decisions like a black man. Before, you might have just looked black, and that might have made them look good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They didn't want the full black experience from you. They just wanted.
Yeah. It was almost like they liked you despite the fact that you were black, not because of the fact that you were black.
Yeah.
I wonder.
I know, and I'm sad that this man keeps labeling himself militant, because that's such a charged word, especially for black men be called militant. I bet you're not being militant. I bet you're just being opinionated.
Or normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They could also be being real foul.
Yeah. I don't know the extent of which, like, I don't know how Malcolm X conk in his hair you're going. It's called conk. Doesn't he call it conk in the movie? He's talking about a lie, right?
He gets a perm and flips it back?
Yeah.
That's a conk.
Thank you. Anyway.
Tune in to NAACP Image Award nominated episode 3 of Mixed-ish for just a tiny bit on hair.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know what he's doing, but I bet you're not being militant. So I'm sorry your friends have made you feel that way. Yeah, get new friends. Or, I don't know, call them out. Is there a world where you can be like, you didn't seem to like that joke, Joe? Why didn't you like that joke?
what are you getting out of this?
Yeah.
You know, what good are they?
I think it is a little bit just
militant,
like,
about?
It's, oh, yeah. It feels like you don't want to know.
Yeah,
that's true. And it's a little bit of just like that, like, I mean, right, junior in college, you still think of your high school friends as like your security blanket. You probably will for like 5 more years.
Yeah.
But they're not.
No.
Now people are going to change.
Oh, you're going to meet great friends.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to have a great time with all your HBCU connections.
Yeah. And then you also got to meet your friends, and when you get your first apartment.
Yeah.
You got to get your new job.
Yeah.
Your new city. Mm-hmm. The friends you meet in your new building. You got so many more friends coming. And guess what? I'm going to say this right now. I don't know you, but there are better white people coming.
Ooh. Yeah. Because
all white people aren't bad.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's possibly true.
Yeah. We'll find out, he says.
You know,
better white people are coming into your life.
A hell of an assertion from Christina Anthony.
Make room for them.
If anyone told me that my 2020 would start with this sentence from Christina Anthony, I would not have believed them.
You better make room for them. They're coming.
They're coming whether you like it or not, because the rent is cheaper where you are.
Oh, no.
Better white people 2020. All right, here we go. Another voicemail.
Hi, Andrew, Tawny, guest. I'm going to do my best to keep this quick, but I have to quick vent. And then I have a question. I am very white, about as white as it can get. And my lovely fiance is from Benin. And we just posted online some engagement photos that we took. And for some of the photos, we were wearing some outfits made from traditional West African patterns. And during the holiday season here, we had a cousin who was asking several annoying questions about it. And when he first asked us essentially why we did it, my dad decided to hop in and he said, "Oh, Jack, didn't you hear? Joe is the Lion King now." This comment just threw me. The level of stupidity and ignorance and yet like weird innocence. It was bizarre. All that I said in the moment was a side comment to him when answering the question, and all I said was, "Well, that was kind of racist, Dad," and kept going, which he did not appreciate, and then later on in the night decided to opinionate about it. So my question is, I need to confront them about this, because there's no way I'm going to allow my family to make my fiance feel uncomfortable in the home, and I'll be damned if he's going to talk like that to one of my kids. And I'm not going to have my kids coming home saying that their granddad said something stupid to them. So this needs to be addressed. And I'm just wondering, from your guys' personal experience of confronting issues like this with your family, I guess specifically Andrew, what are things that you recommend, or even things that you wish you didn't do or wish you did do when confronting them? Anyways, love the show. Thanks, guys. Bye.
I forgot I got specifically called out at the end of this one.
Damn. Oof.
Christina, just a little backstory. Most of my family is whack as hell. I got my dumbest aunt married this like white guy, and he is just like openly racist.
Oh, no.
And it's the worst when like Asian people kind of buy into it too, you know, where they're like, yeah, they're the worst. So do I have actual advice though? Not really.
I like this guy's fire already. Like,
yeah, he's ready. He's ready for the confrontation.
Yep. He's like, "You're not going to make my wife feel this way. You're not going to talk to my kids that don't exist yet this way." Like,
yeah.
He's mad on behalf of some souls that ain't yet living.
But that's what you got to do, right? You got to be like that. Yeah, I feel like come out swinging. You know, in our family, I'm going to say when we really mean business, we call a family meeting.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So maybe you need to bring some formality to this, because it sounds like you said something immediately in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
right.
He might have been like, you just didn't like my little joke.
Right, mm-hmm. Right, right.
So calling a family meeting, I think, brings some formality to it. Mm-hmm. And you could be, maybe the wife doesn't need to be there for this one.
For the Lion King episode.
Yeah.
Of white court.
Yeah.
White court. What are some things that your family has had to call a meeting about that you feel comfortable sharing with us?
Ooh, that I feel comfortable sharing? I mean, I definitely was in the wrong on most of these.
So they were calling the meeting for you. I do love that.
Sort of a combination meeting / intervention.
Yeah, I get it.
That makes sense.
But my point is that I recognize the severity of and the seriousness about what we were talking about.
Yeah.
So
because of the meeting.
Because there was a meeting. Mm-hmm. So I think a family meeting, that's your first way to go.
That's so responsible. Shit.
It's really good. This is good advice.
You're letting them know the gravity of the situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing that, you know, you sound, if you're white, so I'm guessing you know about therapy. They talk about boundaries. I didn't have this growing up. Black people, we didn't talk about this growing up.
But you had the family meeting. That's an amazing boundary.
Is it? Is that
I mean, it's more than my family does, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah?
Shit.
Yeah, so I would say, yeah, then you got to exercise some boundaries.
Yeah.
If you don't do this, then I'm going to be forced to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you don't stop making these jokes, I'm going to be forced to spend less time here. Mm-hmm. And my wife and our future children won't be here either.
Also, that joke is so whack. Like, what is your dad always making whack jokes? Like, is your dad whack joke guy and then this one just happened to be a racist one? Or is he exhibiting some new behavior because of the person you've married where he's trying to make jokes about it in order to comprehend what's going on? So maybe that needs to come up in the family meeting.
I feel, like an agenda, like a full structure, like
get just it catered.
List of shit that is off limits for the jokes.
Yep.
Yeah.
List of, it's also like, I guess the Lion King. Jesus Christ. That's like, horrible.
That's just, it's, seriously, it sounds like a Mike Huckabee joke.
Yeah. And then I don't know where your dad's from, but if you want to fight fire with fire, you could probably find out where your dad's from. You probably know you live there. you're from there too. You could probably hit him with some good jokes yourself.
Yeah.
That really cut. But that's not really a kind.
It's not a solution, but it can be satisfying.
Yeah.
That's for you.
Yeah, that's just for you. That's if they don't respond well to the first one. Maybe then you can start being like, well, you know what?
Yeah.
Iowa.
Yeah. I don't know. Or, yeah, go even further back. And, I mean, this is where you're going to use your white privilege. I mean, get in there. Do a whole Ancestry.com and go deep and hit some jokes.
White people roasting other people, white people, is...
It's pretty good stuff.
I had a friend who was like, I don't know, Swedish or some shit. And she's like, my grandma hates Norwegians. And
I was
just like, how? And just like the list of things that Swedes believe about Norwegians. Impressive.
There's
pretty racist.
Centuries old European beefs.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could get in there and do that. I mean, again, not a kind thing to do, but you've got the power.
It might. Yeah. But that's the power of having the family meeting, having the agenda set.
Yeah.
It's just the time for personal disagreements, personal roasts, threats. Mm-hmm. Just a whole segment for threats.
Yeah, and then you can do that whole, when you said this, this made me feel.
That's I statements. You say I statements a lot.
Yeah.
Christine, I liked your point about not involving his wife to be in these meetings. Because, some things, like, you use your power to shield her from some of this nonsense.
Yeah. And it's not, I mean, this is not her job. It's not her responsibility.
Mm-mm.
This is your terrible father.
This is,
deal with this.
This is some shit she's signing on for despite
also
the thing.
That cousin's got to come to the family meeting, too. Because if the cousin knows your wife-to-be is from Benin, why is there a question of why you're wearing clothing from Benin? Why is that even a question?
Right.
So they open the door to the bad joke.
Yeah. Well, that's just that's feigning ignorance about non-Western cultures, though.
Yeah.
That was just the
minimization
of non-Western culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. They wanted to tee up dad for his hot zinger.
Ugh.
I can't believe we actually gave them real, well, Christina gave them real ass advice.
Yeah. That's
not like us.
No, we should do a bad job on the next one to keep the balance.
Oh, okay. We will. Here we go.
Hi, Tony, Andrew, and guests. This call is spurred from an earlier podcast where you discussed having fiesta-themed parties when your white is clearly racist. I was wondering, as a mixed-race person, I'm half white, half Mexican. However, I was raised in a largely white community, so I haven't really had the opportunity to connect with my Mexican background. If I wanted to have a Dia de los Muertos party or some other commercialized theme party, do I have a right to do that, or is it racist since I don't have that connection? Thanks, guys.
I like when people ask us if they have the right to do something. Like, it's like,
do you think we're cops? Like, what are you talking about? We don't know.
We are fucking cops.
We are cops, though.
Yeah, we're straight up cops.
Race cops.
Yeah, we talk a lot about when people throw theme parties, how it's just weird. Like, you know, when it's just like, I think the example is just like when non-Mexican people are just like wearing sombreros and drinking a lot on Cinco de Mayo. It's like, that's not a cute look. Don't do that.
Yeah.
You're not actually celebrating the holiday.
And then I mean, my race, I'm black. I don't have a race party. When is my party? I don't have one.
The way you said race party, that was just very was. Funny.
I don't have one, you know? I don't have one you can take. I mean, I guess, what would you do?
I mean, the only one we've ever talked about is like Juneteenth, but that's not well
Let's
known
Let's pretend
enough.
To be free. Wait, we didn't hear it? Oh, man.
Yeah, no one's trying to take that one. I wonder why.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, there's a, I don't think so. Well, I'm going to say, if you're looking for me for the answer is no, you don't have the right.
Ooh. Oh, all right.
I'm going to say you don't.
Christina's a cop.
Yeah, I'm going to say you don't because she said, I haven't had the chance to connect with my Mexican background.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am, you're alive. Right. Connect. I know. And also, that's of all the things I would pick to celebrate as a person of Mexican heritage,
mm-hmm.
isn't that the sad one?
It's pretty somber. We just had someone talk about it on our Seattle episode a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Especially the second day, she enlightened a lot of the audience members about how sad that
is. Like
it's
like the kid one, right?
Children.
Yeah. I don't know. So girl, yeah, you seems like you got some reading to do.
Yeah.
And you got some studying to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Before you go straight to kicking it.
Right. Right, right. If you think you deserve the party first, right, that's just a start. If you think you deserve the party first, then you are not ready.
Yeah.
It's like almost by definition, you're not ready.
Also, like, I'm sure maybe you know someone who's Mexican who's maybe having a Dia de los Muertos celebration or honoring someone that they've lost. Maybe
I mean, it feels like you could start with your family.
Yeah, like there could be family, there could be friends. I don't know. You know, she could be adopted. Who knows? Whoa. Yeah, it just sounds like you could maybe go explore and enjoy and learn more about the holiday and celebrate it. I don't think we're saying you can't partake in it, but maybe you don't need to throw a party when you admit that you don't know a ton about it.
Yeah, and that isn't the first step, I think. I mean, and now some Black families do this because my family, we do it occasionally, which is we do have a picnic in the cemetery and we go to each grave and someone tells us a little bit about that person. I mean, but again, I wouldn't say that was a party.
Wait,
it wasn't
is this
a rager.
On a specific day?
No, we do it at a family gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And, it usually takes place in the summer, so we don't have a specific day. But isn't that the point? Like, first you need to be in the cemetery.
I don't know. I think she was maybe just going to throw it at her house. Look, we don't
have...
It felt like
the party was the top of the to-do list.
Yeah.
All right, let me just throw out this little devil's advocate thing.
Well, the devil don't need no advocate.
Ooh. And that's our show.
We're not even devil's advocate
wanna,
thing.
You just want to disagree.
No, I'm not. I don't even know if I'm disagreeing. Let me just ask the question, I guess, which is what we just said, like policing someone else's, like, cause she's half Mexican.
Yeah.
And there can be very, you know, that's like a thing. I don't know.
I know what you're saying, because it is. That's why I think I went like, oh, why does she say, do I have the right? Because it automatically puts us, well, this whole show automatically puts us in the position
to
be the arbiters of whether or not you get to do so. Like, I don't fucking know. Go do whatever you want. You called us to be like, is this weird? And we're just talking about it.
It is weird. Yes.
But also, like, if you feel, I always feel like, what did you say earlier, Christina? Like, if you have doubt, there is
no doubt. There is no doubt. So you feel funny about it, don't do it.
Yeah. Or learn something about it and then do it.
Yeah. Or who's the person you want to have the party for? Maybe that's a chance to connect with that cousin or that uncle.
Oh, yeah.
And can you tell me more about your mom? You know, she also said that she's half Mexican, but she was raised in a white family or in a white community.
Mm-hmm.
You need to also explore that. Mm-hmm. Are they going to join you in this journey? Or are you just going to be out here by yourself?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So the answer is, we don't have your answer. You have your answer.
But she gave us the answer, which is, don't do the party. Don't do the party this year.
Y'all said y'all don't have an answer. I have an answer. Don't do this.
Yeah,
okay,
do some
then
reading.
I'm going to Goldilocks it and be like, wait, did you say do the party?
No. I said no one said do the party.
No one said
I'm just saying, is it fucked up that we're saying... Don't do the party.
I don't know. Call in. Tell us if we're fucked up.
Yeah, let us know.
I say when you feel comfortable enough to where you don't have to call a podcast to ask if it's weird that you do the party, that's when you get to do the party.
That's it right there.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The question becomes its own answer.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to throw a Juneteenth party. Well, I guess we did for this podcast.
But we had people that knew what the fuck they were talking about. We literally brought in people
who knew more about it than me.
Yeah.
Because, like, I wasn't going to pretend to be like, well, I've been celebrating this since I was a child. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's just knowing your familiarity with the thing to, I don't know, but parties are also so stupid. It's like, anybody can throw a dumb party.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, I don't know if I like the word party, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I didn't know. Juneteenth celebrations are also... It's a slippery slope, right?
Yeah, because it is end of a tragedy, and like,
and we just passed out Red Fanta in here. We were disrespectful as fuck.
So I think when you go back to the roots of what's going on, it is very sad, right?
Yeah,
I don't know what are the roots of St. Patrick's Day. Because I see people getting so wasted and doing a bar crawl.
Probably some sad shit, too. Green.
Is it something sad?
Every saint was at one point murdered.
He was probably murdered. I know that there is something serious about this because, as you know, we lived in Chicago for so long where they would just destroy the city on that day.
Yeah.
They'd be like, the party is that we burned down this city again to the point where the Southside Parade got canceled because it was too dangerous, and then they did it anyway.
But I'm sure there were plenty of people there in that community that are like, I'm not going to find out what this is about.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do it. So you could go that route. It seems a little irresponsible.
Yeah.
But
listen to us. It sounds like you don't want to be irresponsible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't do the fucking party.
Don't do the party. But find out about your relatives that have made their transition. Yeah.
But get to the point where you can do the party.
Yeah.
Get on that journey.
And also, maybe the word party is also like, we've said
also
party
they maybe didn't
times.
Say party. We've said celebration. I think she said party, though.
She said party.
We're not going back. We're not going back to the tape.
Oh, man.
Holy shit. Well, Christina, how else besides tuning their television boxes to the ABC Corporation at 9 p.m., 8 Central on Tuesdays?
Mm-hmm. Whew, I ran out of gas getting to this.
To see you. Just taking a little moment personally, Christina is... truly one of the funniest parts of our show. It's incredible to work with her. This is amazing.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much.
So, so funny.
Very funny.
And Andrew just turned in a wonderful episode that he wrote.
Ooh.
Very exciting.
Didn't get fired, so that's good.
Hell yeah, not getting fired.
Mm-hmm, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. TV work. Yeah, tune in to Mixed-ish if you're black or white.
That's it, though. I'm
kidding. Or if you're biracial, also Mixed-ish. Or... if you know a black person or a white person.
Yes.
Or a biracial person.
Yes.
You're going to want to tune in. Mm-hmm. Because as you watch the show, you're going to say, whoa, I know white people, but I didn't know they were doing that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And then you're going to see blacks on there and you're going to say, I know I've grown up next to a black person, but I didn't know this stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it just goes on and on and on. It really writes itself. And then the best part is that it's set in 1985-ish.
So the looks keep coming.
The looks keep coming. Some of us are in 1985.
Yeah.
Others of us are just hippies from Three's Company, but we won't say who.
You look very cute.
Oh, thank you so much. But yeah, check it out. I think you'll love it. And if you had a bad childhood, you can relive it on this show and pretend like this is your family. Mm-hmm. Or I'm sorry, if your childhood wasn't as... great as you wanted it to be, take a second and walk down memory lane with us and we'll be your family.
That's a nice service you do.
And then, other places you can catch me. I mean, help me get these Instagram numbers up, guys.
Oh,
at Teeny Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still improvising in the city with black people. Mm-hmm. It's an improv group of black people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So support black people. And if you... like black people, come out and see us. And if you don't like black people,
interesting.
I dare you to go ahead and come out and see
us. Yeah.
I bet you're not brave enough.
You don't scare me.
The show.
Thanks so much for coming.
My gosh, thanks for having me.
This was terrific.
Yeah, it was nice. I had the day off today and just a chance. I recently got married and hadn't seen my husband since I started working. And so it was nice tonight to just be able to say, hey.
Get the hell out.
We still won't be able to see each other.
Well, thank you for your sacrifice. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, we're back. We did it.
We did it.
Yeah. Remember in the beginning how you already heard the end of the show?
Oh, did they?
Yes. Or was that in the old intro we did?
I don't remember.
Who can tell?
Anything could have happened. Ha! So this is the end of the show.
Yeah.
We'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE.
Mm-hmm.
Leave your questions.
Uh-huh. Oh, really quickly. I wanted to say that somebody, a couple people have reached out to me asking me questions on various mediums about racism in a nice way, not in like an annoying way. But I just want to say, I think everyone who listens to this gets that, like, I know that the show is positioned like we are experts.
Oh, boy.
And I know we say a lot that we're not, but I really want to, in an earnest way, say, like, that this show is for entertainment and for, like, community and just, like, exposing you to different artists and different thinkers and people like that.
Yeah.
It's really not, like, my job. I'm not even trying to be snarky, but it's not our jobs to, like, help you with things in your life.
Maybe. What about phrasing it this way?
I'm sorry, I sound like an asshole.
You don't want it to be our job to help you with real shit.
No. You need like a professor to do that.
Yeah, get someone good. And I know, like, we all enjoy hanging out with us on the podcast every week. We love hanging out with you.
It's a fun specifically. Time to do a podcast.
But we don't. Tony and I did not talk about this beforehand. I'm curious what has specifically triggered this, if anything.
There was recently a very nice person and we had a back and forth. So listener, you know who you are. And they had a very nice, normal question. And I encouraged them to call in with it because it would be entertaining. But before that, I'd had a lot of people like reaching out to me, asking me to be like an arbiter of something. Like, I'm not qualified.
Call in.
Yeah.
323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE. Don't at Trondy Newman.
No.
To ask your racism questions.
No. Don't. Or if you happen to know me in person, definitely don't do that.
323-389-7223.
It's not what we do. We're entertainers. We're comedians. This is an entertainment show.
Honestly, the reason we do this podcast is so we don't have to talk about this shit in real life.
And because our answers aren't real.
We don't know what the hell we're talking about.
We love you guys. Thank you for listening.
Podswag.com/yo.
Get a water bottle. Bye.